Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast, presented by Capital Area District Libraries.
We have a fun group today. I'm Jessica Trotter, Collection Specialist. We're joined by Thais Rousseau, one of our Assistant Directors, and Jolie Hamlin, our other Assistant Director, and Sherry McConnell, our other Selection Specialist. So we're going to talk about audiobooks today. We've got some avid readers in the bunch, and audiobooks are fun for a drive. You listen to them at home. What about you, ladies?
I'm a bit of a commuter. I have about an hour commute to the library each day, and so I listen to audiobooks in the car a lot. The other thing I love about audiobooks is how they can be fun for the whole family on road trips.
Definitely.
How they take us back to the oral storytelling tradition. And some stories are just better told in an audio format. So it's kind of neat to see the ones that you like better in audio and the ones that you enjoy better reading them in print.
I find for me it takes a little bit of time sometimes to get into a book. An audiobook gets me there and I can finish reading it.
Well, speaking of some books are better listened to, I have a couple of favorite readers because of the quality of their voices. And this is Sherry speaking. And I listen primarily books from Hoopla. And two of my favorite readers are Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey fame. He is a great audiobook reader. And one of my favorites of the books that we have on Hoopla is Murder on the Orient Express. It's unbelievable that he does all of the voices. Another favorite reader I have is a woman named Nadia May. And she has 116 audiobook titles in Hoopla, and she likes to read British novels from the 19th and 20th century, so you'll hear her reading books from Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte, George Eliot. And she is, if you love posh British accents, she's the one for you.
This is Jolie. I do listen to audiobooks on occasion, and I think that it's a format that the reader can totally make or sometimes like break on occasion.
Definitely.
That can be.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like I have loved a book so much, and then I'm excited for a road trip, and I've taken my family, and I get this book, and might be like, oh, that reading is not as amazing as the book makes it sound like, but a great reading is just something. If you haven't experienced it, I would encourage you to check out audiobooks just for that, just to see how it can be a really different experience and so much fun. But the biggest thing that, for me, audiobooks have been something that I have done on family road trips. And I have super fond memories. There are some audiobooks that our family, there's this one called The Best Bad Luck I Ever Had, that I have been taking family road trips with my kids 10, 12 years, and if I don't have that one with me, every single road trip, from my husband down to my daughter, who is now a teenager, they all will be a little miffed at me. They do the voices of the different characters. They'll say little quippy sayings that the characters say throughout the book. It's great historical fiction. It is a fabulous reading of it, and just a really fun story.
Well, speaking of road trips, the one that I have the fondest memories of when my kids were small is the series of books called Hank the Cow Dog. And we listened to Hank the Cow Dog stories on all of our road trips, and my kids are now in college or out of college, but we still quote from Hank the Cow Dog. It's just a bunch of great great stories. Hank gets into a lot of trouble, and he will not admit to that, but it's another great kid road trip series.
Who's the reader?
John Erickson
okay.
is the reader.
Yeah. Who are they by?
They are, wait a minute, I think the reader, oh no, the author is John Erickson. The reader, oh, it's read by the author.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. We were kind of talking about there's, at least Sherry and I have kind of, we have fallen for a lot of author readings, which is funny because I've heard people say very strongly that they don't like author readings. I actually seem to tend towards them. My most common example is I would honestly listen to Neil Gaiman reading a phone book. somebody once challenged him to challenge the public to raise enough money to get him to read The Cheesecake Factory. I don't think it worked out, but I would have just sat and listened to it. The Cheesecake Factory menu, I guess. But people like Born a Crime, read by Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah is a fabulous reader, and it does make a difference, I think, when you're reading your own story. Not everybody, I would agree that not everybody can do it, but Born a Crime is a great example of a good one. Revolution for Dummies by Bassem Youssef, who became famous sort of as who's the John Stewart of Egypt. In his story, Revolution for Dummies, looks at the Arab Spring basically from inside Egypt and to the point where he's basically run out of the country. Another one that I've just read, I don't think I really would have picked up, except that it's sort of a guilty pleasure type thing. I picked up I'll Never Change My Name by Valentin Chmerkovsky, who is a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. He and his brother, and it's basically he and his brother's story. But they are, if you've ever seen the show, they're these sort of bad boy dancers with attitude, and it doesn't, you have to hear it sort of read in their voices. His older brother does the intro for it, and then he does his reading, and it's just one of those things where nobody else could have told their story or gotten their names right in any way whatsoever. So it's just it was a fun read.
Yeah, I enjoy Neil Gaiman too. I just recently listened to Norse Mythology, and it was a fabulous audiobook. And it had that same, that when I talked earlier about things that are part of that oral storytelling tradition, because they're stories that would have originally been told sitting around the fire on those cold winter Norse nights, they just seemed perfect for listening. Another author that I really like to hear read their own stories is William Alexander. He's a children's author. He wrote Ghoulish Song and Goblin Secrets, which won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. And they're eerie. There's a bone flute, so there's this eerie music that's played. And he does a very fine job of reading his own work. Back to a couple of just favorite narrators that I have that aren't famous actors, because they're sort of, I think of them in their own category.
Right.
But Bonnie Turpin is a fabulous narrator.
Yeah, she's on my list too. Yep.
She's narrated Children of Blood and Bone, Underground Railroad, a new YA zombie book, Dread Nation, The Hate U Give, Allegedly, The Sun is Also a Star, which is very good on audio. She's one of the narrators of Hidden Figures, but I really wanted to talk about an old favorite of mine, The True Meaning of Smack Day, which is based on, the movie Home is based on this book, and so it's about a girl named Gratuity Tucci, and she has a cat named Pig, and they meet an alien of the race of the Boov, who is named J-Lo, and really, Bonnie Turpin can do any voice with just the right kind of satirical comic timing. And this alien, J-Lo, he has this lip-smacking dialect and with this really squeaky voice. And she just can transition between that and the little girl with... You don't even realize that it would take any effort to do that, and yet it's all narrated by the same person. So I'm just amazed by that. Another one is Kirby Hayborn. He narrates the Miss Peregrine series by Ransom Riggs, which are also really fabulous on audio. Little Brother by Cory Doctorow, and Scowler by Daniel Krause, for which he won an Odyssey Award. And he does horror especially well. The Scowler is the story of a teenager whose father is a serial killer, and he finds out that his father escaped from prison and is coming to get him. And if you want to be scared and not be able to sleep at night, then listen to Kirby Hayborn narrate this book.
Well, I also have some favorite authors who narrate their own books, and I tend to listen to history and audiobooks, and I tend to read history as well. But some of my favorite authors who read their own books, one is Cokie Roberts, and she writes about women at the Founding Mothers is one of her first books to give you an idea. So she writes about the women behind the Founding Fathers. A couple of other titles that she has also read: Ladies of Liberty, The Women Who Shaped Our Nation, and Capital Dames, The Civil War and Women and the Women of Washington. Another author that I like and he reads his own books is Simon Winchester, and he tends to write about big events and big topics, and he delves into the social issues surrounding these events as well as the science surrounding these events. One that I really enjoyed that he read is called Krakatoa, The Day the World Exploded. But he also, again, writes about big themes. Another title, The Men Who United the States, The Map That Changed the World. And he also has written biographies of both the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean.
Well, I guess I'll throw something in there. Favorite authors for reading their own. I like Jack Gantos a lot. Again, that's sort of an author that we've listened to as a family quite a bit, but he does some youth. He's a critically acclaimed author. The Rotten Ralph series is about a kid who has ADHD, and it's a little bit autobiographical for himself, obviously. I guess that's redundant. Autobiography, yeah, himself. Uh-huh. He also has written like Dead End in Norvelt, which is definitely autobiographical. His life has like a lot of humor. He's very deadpan. He can just deliver a punch really well for kind of an older crowd, and a little bit more serious of a topic is his Hole in My Life, which is like completely nonfiction about a time in his life where he kind of got into some like drug smuggling and spent some time in prison. He just does a really good job of reading his own things and having like a really serious tone and having like the perfect pitch of humor in there too.
Right.
I want to jump in and add one more.
We always do. Go ahead.
Yes. Author who reads his own, and this is a very recognizable voice. If you have listened to Masterpiece Theater in the past, David McCullough. And he writes about history, American history. And this is a book that I really, really enjoyed, and it's a part of American history that I'm really into at the moment, have been reading and listening to everything I can get my hands on, and that's the Revolutionary War. And so his book, 1776, is all about that year in the founding of our country, and he reads it, and you can enjoy his voice for the whole book.
Yeah. I'm going to go a little slightly different direction. How do you guys feel about radio plays, as an or more more developed productions, multiple voices, sometimes there's music. You really do kind of have to find what's comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. An example I have would be, I am a Doctor Who fan. Anybody who knows me for about 5 minutes will figure this out very quickly. And in between seasons, I go looking for things to feed my addiction. And then one of my recent finds is there's actually a really robust radio play series related to the Doctor Who series. And one of the new ones is called The Diary of River Song. If you're at all familiar with the series, River is a character of the recent seasons. And this is just the Big Finish Productions is the company that does them. They do, it's over the top. I mean, this is like being movie level, over the top radio plays. There's humor, there's sound effects, there's thrilling music. They pull in other stars from the series. So Alex Kingston, who played the character on the TV show, is doing the voice of River Song in this audio book. And then one of the other doctors that she hadn't previously worked with, Paul McGann, is voicing. And it's just, they're just an over-the-top, you can't take it too seriously, fun series. But then I've run across people who, that's just not their style of audiobook that they want to deal with.
I've had both experiences with full cast audio or things that are more radio plays, so some that I like and some that I don't. I really like the Star Wars books that are narrated by Mark Thompson. So it's just a single narrator, but they include a lot of sound effects, mm-hmm. and things that give them that more radio play type mm-hmm. of experience. And I really like the addition of music. A lot of audiobooks, even if they don't have it throughout the whole audiobook, will mm-hmm. have it at the beginning of a chapter or even just yes. the beginning and end of the book to set the tone. And it can really contribute to the mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to not favor radio plays. Part of the reason why I listen to an audiobook is for relaxation. And in fact, I often listen to an audiobook falling asleep. So then I have to replay parts because I miss them. But a radio play type audiobook is just too much excitement for me. I like the idea of one person telling a story with emotion and voices and things like that.
I think I'm like Thais, that I've had both experiences. Mm-hmm. Although I'm also with Sherry that part of the pleasure of a really well-done audiobook for me is on occasion the amazing acting ability of the reader. Mm-hmm. So that can be just so much fun. You can sit there and not be able to imagine how they're going to convey these different characters well, and then they do. And that's mm-hmm. part of the enjoyment of an audiobook for me.
And it occurs to me that maybe, I'm sort of thinking back to when I started listening to audiobooks or radio plays, I am pretty sure that my parents played a Star Wars radio play when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I am pretty sure we heard at least a version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when I was a kid too, was also a radio play. So that's I'm thinking, and then I didn't listen to audiobooks for a very long time, and I picked them up again.
That's interesting. On the other hand, I prefer Rob Inglis's narration of The Hobbit to the full cast abridged version that's also kind of commonly circulates out there, because it has the whole story. So right. I think we're all maybe probably opposed to abridged in general.
I would have to agree yes. for me. Yes. 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 I want the whole story.
Yes. None of this abridged. You are talking to a group of librarians. I mean.
Well, okay. And there's another. I'm the only one ordering now. So I order audiobooks, and my coworker, Mari, orders for youth services. But some of the things that, just so you understand where we're coming from when we order, we don't, as a rule, kind of order abridged versions. That's something they just don't go out the same way that the full versions do. We still get books on CD, though they don't make them as make as many of them as they used to. But we also have, you know, we have Overdrive and we have Hoopla that are great sources for audiobook downloads. And my only heartbreak is that I can't get anything from Audible because that's an Amazon proprietary productions. So, but other than that, we try to get anything that's really hitting people's radar. And one way that people can kind of keep an eye out of what's hot in audiobooks that I use is Audiophile, which runs the list of the big audiobook awards, is the Audies. And they always run the list of those. But they also have, if you were to use their website, just audiophile.com, they have great listings of, like, their golden voices, and that some of those are people we've already talked about today. But it includes Simon Bantz, and I think Bonnie Taupin is in that list, Robin Miles. All right, everybody, chime in, because I'm blanking. The Harry Potter reader?
Jim Dale.
Thank you. I knew somebody at the table.
Right.
I
was going to mention, too, if you like Jim Dale, remember that you can search by narrator in the library catalog and follow those favorite narrators. Another book that I really love that Jim Dale narrates is Peter and the Star Catchers by Dave Barry, which is a spinoff that Dave Barry did of Peter Pan, and is a really great series.
And I've just picked up things arbitrarily because Jim Dale did them. So there's one called The Boy with the Cuckoo Clock Heart that is just, it's just a weird story all around. It's sort of a fantasy set in a European town, sort of steampunkish, but it's just a weird thing that I only picked up because Jim Dale was doing the audio. And I'll just... the other thing, well, I was just going to throw out one more title I'm reading right now, just started. Barracoon by Zora Neale Hurston is read by Robin Miles, and it's, I was telling Sherry, there is a long intro before you get into the actual story, but one of the reasons I picked it up is because, if you're at all familiar with this, this is a long-lost manuscript by Zora Neale Hurston about the last surviving slave cargo in the United States. This is somebody who came on the last ship, which was well past when it was legal to bring in slave ships, sort of snuck in across the border and up the rivers around Alabama. And the former slave that she interviewed had lived 67 years in freedom, but was brought in, served as a slave for about 5 years before the end of slavery. But it's just a heart-wrenching story, I mean, a first-person narrative, basically, about that being stolen, coming across the Middle Passage, and living as a slave for a period of time, and then living through Jim Crow. But what threw me, for me, is that it's written in dialect, and that's something I really wanted to hear done, so that's why I picked up the audiobook for this one.
Nice.
Any other ones that people want to throw out?
I'll throw out one. So, there's just too many choices.
There are.
One
there
of
are.
My like all-time favorite audiobooks, and then I was lucky enough to find, you know, that there's a series, is Shiloh by Phyllis Naylor Reynolds. So just the really like old school youth dog story. It's a really tender, lovely story as it is. And that was one I picked up for a family trip and was blown away. It's read by Peter McNichol. I don't know if anyone recalls the show Ally McBeal from years ago, sort of a comedy. He was on that show, and he has Golly, he played sort of a soft-spoken, very quirky lawyer on that show. This book, he just does a great job with the series. He makes it sound like he's not reading at all. He makes it sound like he's a young boy telling his story. And when, like, I can think of an example of trying to capture, like, just like the delight of a dog just jumping on you and, like, licking your face. Like, he does that. You know, he captures that delight and has giggles that just, you know, bubble up from his throat. It's really lovely. So that's one of my all-time favorite. Like I said, it's an old one, but it's a fabulous reading.
I want to mention, maybe someone can look up the narrator for me. I don't seem to have it noted. Mozart's Starling by Lyanda Lynn Hout. And the reason that I want to mention this is at first I had this on my list of books read by the author because the narrator has such a down-to-earth conversational style. I just believed the author read it, but then it turned out it wasn't. This is a narrative nonfiction at its best. Haupt is a nature writer who decides to adopt a starling, like America's most hated bird, after she realizes that the composer Mozart was charmed by a starling and made it his pet. It's part biography, part memoir, part natural history, the story of the relationship the family has with this bird, but about the history of Mozart and music, and can birds really make music, or is it something different, creative expression, but just narrated in a really simple, straightforward style that makes you think that a friend is telling you their story. Plus, how could you not love a book that suggests a connection between time stopping in fairy circles and music, and it still manages to come off as scientific and well-researched?
The reader's Linda Henning.
Linda Henning, that's right. Yes, thank you.
Another great just nonfiction, and I don't know the reader on this one either, but it's by Candace Fleming, who is a very renowned nonfiction history writer, The Family Romanov, Murder, Rebellion, and the Fall of Imperial Russia. Definitely have to put a recommendation in for that. This is a great story to, again, listen to as a family. Maybe slightly older kids, just because, yeah, there's murder in there. It's not super graphic, but but really fascinating story, and the reading is great.
That one I'm not sure I can come up with quick.
The reader for The Family Romanov is Kimberly Farr.
And I think we can all go on with more and more for something just quirky, because that seems to be what I gravitate towards. And stand-up comedians, because I'm the one that came up with Trevor Noah and Bassem Youssef. But if you haven't picked up or heard anything by Eddie Izzard, who is a British comedian and activist, Believe Me is a recent audiobook. It is not for the faint of heart in that his humor style is rambling, like totally rambling, as in the audiobook probably adds 2 or 3 hours to the actual book. And it's very funny. He somehow wends his way back to the original story. I've yet to figure out how. The story's, it's very personal, so there are parts of it that are heart-wrenching. He lost his mother when he was very young. But he talks about having, you know, just this idea of he wanted to be famous, he wanted to make people laugh, and it's the ways that he went through, the things that he went through to try and get to a point where he could recognize and realize that career. And it's just, it is very funny. And it does, but it's also, it's fairly political in that he is quite serious about trying to stand as an MP in Great Britain. So it's just an interesting story and an interesting point of view. But it's long. it's fun. He wanders all over the place, but it is long.
Okay. Anything else? The last book I'm going to talk about is called The Soul of an Octopus. This is, again, another book read by the author, Cy Montgomery. And she writes both adult and children's books, and they tend to be about animals. She is an animal journalist, but she, this The Soul of an Octopus, at the end of this book, I believe that octopus are thinking, feeling beings. It's, she gets very emotional talking about the octopi that she meets at a an aquarium, and tells their stories. And she also goes into the wild looking for octopus to get a feel for where they live in the wild. But it really is, it's a funny, entertaining, touching book.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have more questions about audiobooks, just stop in at one of your branches, and we can keep helping you.